Thank you. Commissioner Beal.
No, I guess I'm going to defer, I'd like to defer to Mr. Hart whether he wants to approve it or not.
Well, I've got questions. I'm just giving you all first bite at the apple.
Well, that's why I'm asking the legal, what's the threshold here?
Yeah. So, directed to staff, and so I will come back to the concerns that Commissioner Hart has brought up. For this project, it is in basic description, taking one parcel, splitting it into two parcels with a remainder, all 40 plus acres. Can staff please, for the record, state what determines whether a parcel is Ag 1 or Ag 2? That's step one.
So it's based on the soil type?
Anything else?
Typically the size of the parcel, potentially.
Okay, anything else? Is it determinant upon available water to make it productive?
Correct.
Can an Ag 2 parcel be an Ag 2 parcel if it doesn't have a well?
Yes.
Yes.
Can Ag 1 parcel be an Ag 1 parcel if it does not have an ag well?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So under the county general plan, you can, but under the Scott Valley mm-hmm. land plan, it's clear. If there's no source of water, you cannot be Ag 1 or 2. And that's why I'm asking for the county code, is that different? Ag 2, there's some exceptions, but the only way you can be Ag 1 in Scott Valley is if you have a water source.
And the question was whether there's an existing well or not.
No. My question is, to be Ag 1, you can be Ag 1 outside of Scott Valley without a source for water?
No.
I'm going to answer that. The answer is yes. It's purely based off of the soil type. Ag 2, there are certain borderline soils that have to have water in order to be classified as Ag 1 soils. However, Ag 1 soils are not determined. They're not relying on water for that determination. It's just the classification of soil, whether it's considered prime or non-prime.
So how can you be prime Ag without water?
It's prime Ag soils that's intended for use for water.
Soil without water is dirt.
There are people who do dryland farming, as I'm sure you know.
That's Ag 2. That is not prime Ag.
They can do dryland farming on Ag 1 if they chose to. However, the zoning code in our county for Ag 1, it's based on the soil type. It is not determined by if there is water or not.
That's based on soil conservation.
I can't hear you.
Does that say be tillable?
NRCS.
NRCS,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for the outside of Scott Valley, it is soil type only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's first question. Second question, on parcel, let me zoom in here a bit. So on parcel one, there is a well next to the residence labeled Well B.
Mm-hmm.
And that is drinkable, potable water, been tested. It's clean.
It's permitted.
It's a permitted domestic well, which we do not do testing for residential situations.
Due to recent
activities, be done on that.
Okay, due to recent activities on the ground above, is there a trigger that would say, hey, county health, before any legal transaction takes place, water needs to be tested?
There's not a trigger at this time for that, no.
There is not, okay.
There is a trigger for arsenic in that general area, currently.
Okay. How often are wells tested for that? when somebody dies?
On time upon drilling.
But time upon drilling only never after?
Correct.
Okay. On parcel two, it is designated that there is a well A. Then we get to the remainder with no existing well. Is there water there? Can a well be put down and hit water enough for...
Mr. Engel had his hand.
It's the Environmental Health Department's determination that there is a high probability that water would be there. And based on that, we move forward with looking at the adjacent wells.
Okay.
In the area.
But we all know what Shasta Valley's like. You can drill two holes 20 feet apart from one another. One will hit dry and one will hit water.
Yeah.
There's water.
Okay. So it has not been tested. Mr. L, you had, Lynn, you had your hand up?
Yes, you'll notice on
the come up to the mic, please, so we have you on the record.
There is a third well on the property. It's well C. And if the county doesn't have the final report on it yet.
But that's on parcel two.
Yes.
Not on the remainder.
It's on the easement that goes to the remainder.
Oh, so that easement, okay.
The well C.
You've answered my question. Thank you. So okay. It does have a source for water.
It has a source for water.
Okay. All right. Okay, so that was well. That's on the easement. I gotta go back to my. I'm still baffled by you can have primag without a source of water. Seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Through the chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
A number of months ago. It was in Scott Valley, and we were talking about the same thing, and I don't remember the particulars.
Peonies Farm.
Pardon me?
Is it the Peonies Farm?
Could be. I can't remember. But I know that this soil thing was brought up then, because on that property, that parcel, which was Ag 1, there was no water, but they had access to it from elsewhere.
That was on the Bobby Dawes split.
Okay.
Right off Highway 3.
Have anything to do with this? Nothing.
No, because that falls under Scott Valley plan.
Right.
And he ended up pulling some of the Ag 2 became rural residential because it did not have a water supply.
There you go.
Once we did the split.
Okay.
That's why I'm here, because we've got, and that's why I'm...
Yeah, I mean, and I would get out of confusion or whatnot. But we have had projects in the past, one specifically out here off Philby Lane, where we're looking at ag ground and rezoning. And for that rezoning to occur, we had to make the argument there was not sufficient water to support the agriculture there.
Okay, so that was where my questioning was headed, because I'm thinking if we're prime ag, have to have water, how can we split a parcel and keep Ag 1 when we know they can't drill an ag well because of the moratorium? And so you'd end up having to do a zone change to do the parcel split. If the county code had the trigger that for prime ag land you have to have a water source. And so that's what I was trying to wrap my head around. How can we split this with Ag 1 on the top, some Ag 1 on the bottom, with no ag well, only residents? So you've, not that I like the answer, but you've allayed my concern on that. So the ingress, egresses, let's hear, did I have... Okay, so that one was taken care of with the easement for well C. Then I will come back to Commissioner Hart's line of questioning. There have been questionable activities take place on the property before Mr. Enloe took ownership currently. In the conditions, it does, I did not see any criteria because our code enforcement just told us that they need to go out and do another inspection, and they're continuing to do inspections. Am I missing a condition of approval that it is truly safe for public health and safety? Because I agree with Commissioner Beal, it says that it met the requirements, but then we hear from staff, he needs to do another visit.
So, particularly the text that Commissioner Beal is referencing is in relation to CEQA, right, and the common sense exemption. So if you think about it in CEQA terms, it's, you know, the baseline, right, and there's nothing new that's being proposed other than, you know, the splitting of lines. And so the current, you know, this is like the current status of the subject parcel. So nothing new is being proposed that would necessarily like further exacerbate the current environment. So, you know, that text is taken from the common sense statutory exemption. So it's in relation to how CEQA views, you know, the current
proposed project.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Whether there's currently something environmentally happening, that's a little bit separate of an issue. But we can totally add, you know, we can definitely add a condition to satisfy.
Because you just said it, the separate issue. And
yes.
So this is where I have a question for council and maybe staff. We have a project to split a parcel into three. Typically, we do not have a code enforcement officer here telling us about code violations. In Siskiyou County, code, ordinances, state law. Is there the ability, if a violation exists for human health and safety, that would prevent a sale of a parcel? A, stop a potential project, question B. C, is that really the purview of the Planning Commission, or is that a civil matter?
In regards to property sales, that would be a civil matter, and if there's contamination on property and it's being sold, sometimes people do phase ones, but really that has nothing to do with the county. In regards to the code, the Siskiyou County Code, and if it has provisions that relate to what happens when there's a code enforcement process going on a property, we do have section 1-5.16, which is refusal to issue permits, license, or other entitlement when there is a pending administrative or judicial action related to code enforcement. So if there's an ongoing administrative citation process, then generally my understanding is it's the practice of the Community Development Department to not issue new entitlements until the pending action is finished.
Okay, before you continue, so directly related to that, the code enforcement potential action that was described to us, though, was not because of Enloe's. It was due to a previous owner. So that code enforcement action can stop the new owners from doing something with their private property according to Siskiyou County ordinance?
It relates to applications pertaining to premises for which there is a pending administrative or judicial action or unpaid debt resulting from a notice to appear, civil action, notice to comply, administrative citation. So it relates to the property. But from the presentation today, it sounded like the presentation was trying to establish that the code violations had been resolved.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Humor me for a second. Let me try this analogy. Essentially, a code enforcement action is tied to the land, not the owner, much like a use permit. So it's a case of buyer beware. If there's an enforcement action on a property and they acquire it on the steps of the courthouse, basically Inlow says we're accepting potential actions that may limit our ability to do with this property as we so desire.
Correct, and sometimes I know, I think the department records notices of violation with the assessor recorder.
Okay, so I'm gonna go the next step then, now that you've answered A, B, and C. Question number two, which is just, I think, one part. If code enforcement goes out there for a final inspection, or in a subsequent inspection because he has permission, notices questionable material on the ground, and it is identified as a toxic substance that has had access to the soil, who's responsible for that cleanup?
A property owner.
Yes, the current property, correct?
No.
That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be a civil matter, obviously.
So that would be civil. Okay. That would not prevent us from moving forward on this project for the UNLOS to approve this. If something's discovered in the future, that's entirely civil.
I would defer to Rick, like if he goes out on site and he sees a spill, he might direct cleanup, but as to who pays for that cleanup, I mean, that isn't a county matter, correct?
In a sense, no, yeah. It would fall to the property owner. The property owner is responsible for that spill and that cleanup. The property owner would have purview to go to the violator for compensation, civilly.
Through legal action.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because Commissioner Fowles said words, buyer beware.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question? The new owners, I'm sure that when you're splitting this, you have intention of selling it. This is not, has nothing to do with whether we go forward or not, but I think it's obvious that's what you want to do. Why wouldn't it be go right back to having the legal grows there once you sell a parcel? I mean, is that not
it,
just
it could happen?
It can happen. Yeah. And they don't need to have a water source, right? They can haul water now.
That's not true.
It's illegal. It's their would be in violation of their civil rights. Not to say I'm shutting it up, but hauling water for it. So here we go. Right?
Right, but it has nothing to do with what we're doing.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I don't want to see if we can.
There's a bigger problem than safety.
Yeah. Any further questions from commissioners?
No.
There's no way you're going to go with 50 stuff in the water. We're going to originate.
Right.
That's
you're
it.
Chasing rabbits.
That's it.
I'm just making sure that what we were told, so if we approve this, there will be subsequent visits by code enforcement once the current the last occupant has left, and then it,
correct.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
Once code enforcement has addressed the issues, and it's in process of seeing that this is cleaned up. If we approve this, that does not change the fact that that property has to be cleaned up or is being cleaned up. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
gentlemen, I have other questions, but they're only related to this project, not directly on the project. So I would entertain further questions or a motion.
Through the chair, I will make a motion. I move that we adopt resolution PC 2023-017, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining the project exempt from the California Environmental Equality Act and approving the Enlow Kennedy parcel map TPM-23-04.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Hart. Any further discussion? Okay, this is a roll call vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, same. The proposal has been approved. Thank you for coming in. Good luck with the property.
Thank you.
Before we move on to 3, 4, 5, does anybody need a break before we move on?
Yes.
Okay, we will take a 5-minute break and reconvene at 10, 15, and 33 seconds.
And you're a referee, right?
Stop it.
Three games tonight, 3 tomorrow night, 3 Friday, and 3 Saturday. Oh,
I don't want to mess it up. I don't know how to not pause.
It's just us.
We shall call back to order at 10, 15, and 20 seconds, 12 seconds early. Next item is discussion direction, ongoing staff update regarding the general plan update.
Haley Lane, Planning Director. I provided a memorandum created by the consultant team, Mid-Tier and Harnish, otherwise known as Project Status Update 1. And so this memo includes, you know, the discussion and comments related to the Joint Board and Planning Commission workshop. They also highlighted the background report preparation, as well as the update regarding the Technical Advisory Committee. I believe we met, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? It was the first TAC meeting, introductory meeting. And so that is an internal group of department heads within the county. And so, you know, after staff reviews certain deliverables, those deliverables will then go to the TAC. And this is to, you know, provide comments and revisions before things are ready to be posted and out for public review, or for, you know, before they're coming before the Planning Commission. And I believe that is it. This memo was posted on the Siskiyou 2050 General Plan website, as well as sent out as an e-blast with the subscriber list of folks that have signed up through the website. So that concludes my comments, and happy to answer any questions.
Does the planning consultants, do they have an agenda, would you say?
An agenda?
Yeah, like, are they showing any deficiencies in our general plan now?
Yeah, so we have been working on what they're calling like a general plan policy audit. And so I've gone over with staff all of our housing elements that are being updated with the consultant, and we have been internally discussing our policies, right? Do they work? Do they not work? Would we want them reworded? Those internal type discussions, and then we'll have a larger discussion, you know, with the consultant team prior to that discussion coming forward to the Planning Commission. So,
the procedure is, it's by statute that you're doing this, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes to the Planning Commission, their recommendation coming to the Planning Commission.
Correct.
And then we approve it and send it to the Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take it and send it to the State of California.
Mm-hmm.
And they, can they come back and mandate some things that we...
No, it's not similar to like the housing element, for example, right? Where we had a housing element draft and then we sent it to HCD and then they came back with revisions. That's not typical of like a comprehensive general plan update. You know, the, and that's why we use consultants, right? They know what statutorily things we have to include, we don't include, and we just send it to the state as more of an update so they're aware that we have an updated,
so
you know, general
with,
plan, but they don't.
The Board of Supervisors certified they're happy, they would, City of California said fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Questions for Ms. Lang? All right.
Okay.
Miscellaneous, next meeting scheduled for December 20th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Correspondence.
Nope.
Okay. Staff comments before we get to the can of worms.
Yes, staff has comments before the worms are released. A couple updates for you. Vacation rentals.
Again?
Yes. Just want to make you aware that we will be coming back to you with an ordinance form for your recommendation to the board. Understanding it was be pretty hard here at the Planning Commission and also at the board level. We were advised by council that per code section, yada, 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 it should have been in ordinance form before you, before going to the Board of Supervisors. We thought we had that base covered, but we did not, apparently, so it will be revisited with you all. Also, general information at the board yesterday, as Haley mentioned, the housing element has been approved by the board. And also, the address was the well permitting guidelines. The board made a decision not to include an indemnification agreement with our well permitting. That was one thing that we were looking to finalize prior to. We have the governor's order. Basically, through the state of California, it requires the Environmental Health Department to make a determination anytime we issue a production well, which is more than 2.5 acre feet per year, basically, so it's a non-domestic well. We have to make the finding that it's not going to interfere with the production of an adjacent well to that.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
How are you gonna do that?
So currently the process to move forward with that is to obtain a hydrogeologist to submit a depletion report for that. There's some science behind it somewhat to achieve that. It's expensive. It's not welcome. So along with that, we also had a presentation from Dr. Folvia to put in place a permitting tool essentially to develop matrices for each of the basins with the set setback requirement, if you will, for adjacent wells. So they'll basically be doing the modeling up front, providing in the matrix distances that are not going to impact adjacent wells. So the staff can issue those permits ministerially without going through additional testing. If there's anything that's going to be basically in a sensitive area with the public trust doctrine, it will require, you know, further analysis.
So that's every well in Scott Valley?
We'll see.
Through the chair?
I'd expect not, but we'll see. Yeah.
Hmm. Does that include existing wells?
Existing wells? No.
To deepen a well does not...
To deepen a well, yes. It has to be analyzed. Yeah.
Can I come in and get a permit to redrill an existing well that's casing as dilapidated?
If you
the same
are,
depth and same dimension?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. Nielsen. Mr. Nielsen made some very pointed comments that were 1,000% point on
yeah.
about water rights. about what has transpired.
Right.
Nick Jaws from Friends of the Shasta agreed with Mr. Nielsen about that very issue. Excuse me, you haven't even begun to address it. Right, what Tony's talking about, where an existing well is there at 100 feet. Mm-hmm. And neighbors have come in because the county's allowed it to happen and taken the water level down to 400 or 500 feet and dried you up. You were there first. Basic water law in California is first in time, first in right.
Mm-hmm. First in line.
Contiguous use. How are you going to address all of that? Because yeah. I'm telling you right now, you probably got a class action lawsuit coming against the county on that issue. Mm-hmm. So does the state.
Yeah.
And my next question here, this is probably to Natalie, is would somebody please define public trust? Because, yeah, public trust is tried not on fish, tried on birds in the Mono Lake Basin. It's being used in the context of the curtailment order and even into the well ordinance for aquatic species of fish. It doesn't even begin to address all the other protected species that are out there that are dependent upon water. So if you're losing water back to the stream because of public trust doctrine, you're going to protect the species, yet you have all the documentation of those protected species on your property, you have to provide water for that. So how do you put that provision into your well permitting ordinance? You can't leave a landowner stuck with, he's got public trust doctrine issues with his surface diversion. You decrease that, so now you're decreasing all the habitat for all those other species. The only way you can provide water there is with a well. I know I'm throwing a real curveball at you, but and the reason I'm saying that, because under the California Endangered Species Act, no one, including the governor, has a legal authority to take a protected species. Whether it be a fish, a bird, a butterfly. I've got crews out there right now chasing the Franklin bumblebee and the monarch butterfly. They're out there collecting data every 2 weeks. And all of those are dependent on the water being there and my operation being there. I'm just throwing a bunch of stuff that I know you can't give me an answer to that, but
so what kind of data do they are they collecting?
What did they find it and where are they finding it?
What it
in numbers?
Oh,
and habitat.
And habitat, doing habitat analysis. I've already had all that done with the safe harbor that I have on the ranch. That deal with, I think we got 8 listed species that we have to, under our ranch management plan, under the safe harbor. We have to take measures under best management practices to protect those. We've got a safe harbor on the mountain property where I have an incidental take permit. If I kill a gray wolf, I'm free and clear. So it's a very rigorous process to go through to get those safe harbors to do that. And I'm just throwing this out there for information for you guys to ponder. In where the board goes with this, because I suspect with what's going on with this curtailment, there's going to be some people are going to start challenging what has been being handed down. I'm not saying there needs to be water back in the stream. That all needs to be adjudicated. Groundwater needs to be adjudicated. And that's a monumental process, probably 15 years to get it done. But there's already a case going on in Santa Barbara right now, Santa Barbara County, where 2 carrot growers filed an adjudication process against the county in that one little area there in that valley, and it's pulled in municipalities, small lot owners, everybody. So, you know, that's probably going to happen here. I hope it doesn't happen before I'm dead and gone. But, yeah, I know. Rich, you're giving me glazed over eyeballs.
yeah. You know, in response to that, I can't tell you anything you don't already know.
Yep.
Obviously, it's going to be down to a delineation of the sensitive area for the public trust doctrine. And anything inside of that sensitive area is going to have more scrutiny for well permit issues. Hopefully outside of that area, once defined, we can have a more of a ministerial process for well permitting.
So sticking to the well permitting before topic potentially changes. The county recognizes the interconnected zone and won't be issuing any new well permits in Scott Valley within the interconnected zone because those wells are all adjudicated already, correct? Unless it's a well that will be in lieu of a riparian right? Or will you be able to issue a well permit in lieu of a riparian right? Because if you don't issue a permit for a well for a riparian right, there's potential takings. Because if I'm told I can't drill a well and stop using my riparian right because I'm getting curtailed, I've got a choice. I either go after the county or I go after the state.
Yeah, so we're not to the point yet to really answer that question. Common sense wise, if you will, and the path that we'll probably go down to is mitigation measures essentially. So if you have a riparian right of X and want to basically take that same water interconnected through a well, it'd be an offset balance, right? And we could probably get there to issue that permit for the well through that mitigation measure.
Okay. So the well permits in Scott Valley that you may issue will only be for wells outside the interconnected zone?
Predominantly, unless there are findings that can be made, hydrogeologists could be hired and make the determination for both the public trust doctrine and also for the governor's order.
How so, about the adjudication?
I'm going to jump in and just note we don't have the well program on the agenda, and so we should probably wrap up the conversation.
Okay. Jump right in there. Sorry.
Well, we've got staff questions that need to be addressed as it comes to planning because it's, and so I will change topic for Ms. Reed because why I had the questions on the project today, knowing that in Siskiyou County outside Scott Valley, you can have prime ag or ag 2 without a source of water, ag production well. Okay, all of a sudden we start splitting these lots down to 40s, 20s, 10s, and all of a sudden you can't deny a residential well as long as it's under 2.5 acre feet. Well, 2.5 acre feet on 5 acres, you can grow a lot of stuff. So how many domestic wells at 2.5 acre feet are going to start being popped out here?
How many gallons per minute is that?
1 acre foot is 488.67 cubic feet per second. Is 1 CFS. 1 CFS
is 50 gallons.
Or 400 and roughly 480 CFS equals 1 acre foot. 2 acre foot, I could run a pivot on. That's a lot of water.
Yeah.
But curtailment doesn't apply to it, and the well restriction moratorium doesn't apply to it. So you end up having people start popping in wells that are under the 2.5 acre feet. You're going to have more drawdown in your groundwater table. It's an unrecognized. And that's why in Scott Valley, you know, I'm thinking about this, there's a reason why Ag 1 is an 80-acre minimum. Because 80 acres translates over to roughly 2.5 to 3 acre feet of water to make it prime, Ag 1. It makes sense. But we're starting to see these parcels get split up out here in Shasta. No moratorium on residential domestic wells, unless they're getting metered with us.
So let me get this straight, because now I'm really confused. There is a moratorium on wells in Scott Valley, correct?
Production wells.
Production.
No.
No.
There is not.
No, okay. No moratorium on ag wells?
No.
So please go back to your update of what the board decided yesterday. Okay. You can do what now?
Really, the only decision, if I can speak to that, is there's determination that they will not require an indemnification agreement, right, associated with the well permit that we issue.
And then Dr. Foglia's presentation is going to set that parameter of what you may need to do depending on how far away a well may be to other receptors?
Yes, we just invited Dr. Foglia to present a methodology, asked the board for direction to allow her to continue that work, basically.
Right.
And that is essentially just to summarize, to employ a well-permitting decision-making tool, essentially.
So then, this is just a what-if question to council. And I'm not asking for any definitive answers. So you're trying to develop guidelines to get through a well-permitting process. Somebody can walk in the door and not have to hire a battery of lawyers to get through that process. And one of the things is just a suggestion. If you come to an agreement with the agencies, and you know, it's going to take a lot of legal review from them, where, okay, I'll leave all my water in the stream, but I'm out here 3 miles from the stream, I get an exemption to drill a well. There's no guarantee we're going to find any water. Is anything like that, could that ever be contemplated? Just something to think about. And I'm not asking for a yes or a no, but it's one of those, and looking at the water issues of the shafts in the sky, we're looking at replumbing both valleys on how to use the water beneficially for all uses, period. There's going to be water back in the stream, there's going to be an in-stream flow minimum set, period. And whatever that is for the existing ag community to still stay in business, there are going to have to be a lot of changes. Somebody's going to have to pay for a lot of those changes. But then you look at this business of people being put out of business because all of a sudden they don't have the ability to use water to farm with. The value of that irrigated ground just decreased exponentially, so does the tax base. So that has a huge economic impact to the county. And it, you know, goes into the tax base. And, just trying to think of all the collateral damage of all of this reallocation of water, and I don't know that the people in Sacramento even, that doesn't even come on radar. It does on mine, right? You have to be very creative on what you're doing and what's the best way to navigate through this so that there isn't, as an individual landowner, they don't have to go hire a bunch of lawyers and either take on the county or the state. How do we solve the problem?
Through the chair.
Tough question.
Quick question. Adjudicated water rights for surface water that are in place now, do they still go with the land?
Yes.
Water wells, do they still go with the land?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I wonder when they're going to beat up on that one.
They already are.
We are right now.
Currently.
Great.
Okay, moving away from water for a moment.
Are we moving on to commission comments?
I have a staff comment.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Right. Mr. Dean opened up this can of worms. Okay, that's right. I'm sorry.
It sounds like we have another staff comment.
All right, so I will continue. Staff number two, any comments?
Nope, not
staff
today.
Number three, any comments? Staff member number four.
Yes,
Rachel.
I do have comments. not as lengthy as what Mr. Dean's comment resulted in, but
never start like that. It will backfire.
So, as you know, our beloved clerk has been out of the office due to an illness, and however, she has been working from home as much as she can, and she texted me recently, and she said that she had been working on the October minutes, and she started crying when she heard all the really nice things that you guys said about her. So she just wanted to let you guys know that she really, really appreciates those comments. It made her feel really good. And that she wanted to pass on the message that she's working hard to get better, and she's planning on being back in January. So hopefully you will see her at the turn of the year.
Wonderful.
So that was the end of my comment.
Wonderful. She'll get back just in time for the heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yep.
Any other staff comments?
Nope.
All right, commission. I'm going to start with Commissioner Veal.
No, have none.
That's why I started with you. Commissioner Mello.
No, sir, not at this time.
Commissioner Hart.
See what Reed, thank you for keeping us on point, keeping us out of legal problems.
Is that all you had?
Oh, I could go on, but I'm not going to bore you.
Okay.
No,
so mine is non-water. I've had three phone calls in the last 3 weeks related to Williamson Act and issues that are being encountered for a number of reasons. One was there was reluctance when a property owner bought a neighboring property. Both were under Williamson. And they were granted, two of these individuals are elderly. But their conversation with staff was there was an issue with joining the contracts, so they just had one, that they would have to choose, this is how they understood it, they would have to choose which parcel would remain under Williamson and which one it would be forfeited on for some reason they were unaware of. That's question one. Second caller bought two parcels, both under Williamson, and were hitting a roadblock doing a boundary line adjustment to straighten the lines between the two parcels, and were hitting a potential roadblock, as they perceived it, of being able to start a boundary line adjustment when both parcels were under Williamson, and said there was a restriction because the parcels were under Williamson, that they were being told that there was something further had to be done there. And the third one, here's the merging, the boundary line adjustment. Oh, and then the third one was an individual bought a neighboring parcel, and part of that parcel was under Williamson, part was not, but the whole parcel is being legitimately used for ag purposes. And essentially we're told that the county's no longer taking in new contracts. And their question was, is it a new contract or is it simply an expansion of an existing contract? And how does county policy deal with that? Because if that portion is not able to be brought under Williamson, they can't afford it and they're going to be reselling it. And it's basically going to be developed. So those were the three Williamson issues I dealt with over the last month between the two meetings, bringing those up so staff is aware. I'm still getting the calls about why are they needing my Schedule Fs, etc., blah, 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 to verify I've been doing it this way for 70 years, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's part of the verification process is all I know to tell them. Mm-hmm. But it's
there's a growing sense of uneasiness related to Williamson and the county. So staff is aware. And for some reason, it's getting funneled to me. But I'm relaying that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I already asked Natalie, have any other staff other than Natalie been at least listening in on the State Water Resource Control Board calls that we have three, at least two each week, sometimes four? And I'm usually in on three of them every week. Other than Matt Parker and Natalie listening in to a listening session, any other staff, Mr. Dean, are you participating in those?
I have not. I did attend the public hearing in Montague.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you about that after the meeting. Okay. I'd highly encourage it, especially with, I mean, the E-rate deal's basically done.
Yeah.
Last day for comments is tomorrow. But the in stream flow numbers, there are going to be numerous calls and meetings on that. I would highly encourage at least Mr. Dean or Ms. Slang, at least one of you, along with Mr. Parker, and hopefully legal of some sort, is in on those calls.
Yeah.
It's going to have a major impact on the landscape and how we, it's fitting we're going through our general plan. It needs to be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that. Anything further, gentlemen? All right, then according to this, we're adjourned.
Good choice.